Bless his holy name. Amen. I'm thankful for that truth. I'm thankful for all that God has done to prove himself time and time again. He didn't have to, but he always makes sure that I know he's in control of my life and in control of every situation. Did you know that there's nothing you go through that hasn't first come through the hand of God? You read the book of Job, and one thing, the theme of Job is many, many things you can say. I've heard it preached 1,000 different ways, but one thing I have found, that all the way from Job 1 to Job 42, there's one thing for sure: God's in control of it all. The devil himself had to give an account to God for anything that he did in Job's life. And listen, God is not going to turn you loose into the devil's hands and let the devil get the last word. I'm glad that the Bible says he is the author and finisher of our faith. That means that what God started in me, God's going to finish it in me. That means that the devil may get one chapter in my book, but God gets to write the last chapter. Amen? And God's in control of it all. You agree with that? Holler at me real loud. Amen. Amen. I want you to take your Bibles real quickly for just a few minutes and go to Psalm 103. Psalm 103. And if you don't mind, just stand up, stretch your legs out a little bit, and we'll stand in reverence of God's word. While you're turning, I want to tell you thank you to this church for being so good to us and loving on us. And I'm thankful for your pastor. And we've got some dear friends in this church. And Brother Corey's a good friend of ours. And your pastor and his family has always been kind and gracious to us. One of the kindest men that I know is Brother Tyler, and I love him, and I know his family has been through some difficulties, but I've watched God just absolutely put his hand and anointing on that man's life, and God's using him in a big way right here. And you ought to thank God for your pastor, and what a blessing it is to have a people like you are. And Brother Billy's been a great friend of ours, his family. We've always looked up to them our whole lives, and I'm thankful for them. And just thank you, church, for being so kind to us and being gracious. The room's been excellent, and the time we got to spend here has been a blessing. We love y'all, and we thank you for us. We consider you family. I hope you feel the same way about us. You're part of the Carr family, and we hope we can be a part of the Church Street family. That's one thing about family is you can choose your friends, but you can't choose family. You stuck with me whether you like it or not. Hallelujah. I'm thankful for the blessings of God in this place. And hopefully, I hope the Lord allows us to come back. Psalm 103, are you there? Say amen. Amen. I'm not updating my Facebook, I promise you that. I am setting my clock so that I don't go over my time. Psalm 103, the Bible says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name." He said, all that is within me, bless his holy name. I got to stop long enough and just ask you a question. When you come to church, do you give God all that you've got, or do you reserve some back for yourself? David was a person who gave God everything he had. He said, all that is within me, I'm going to bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. We're celebrating Memorial Day today, or this weekend. I'm thankful for that. And what we're doing is we're remembering a price that was paid by many men. I'm thankful for these men that stood up. I do not degrade those men who have wore uniforms and fought in whatever manner you join the forces. You turn your civilian life over to fight for my freedom, and we got a lot of people who disrespect that. And I've got a problem with those who disrespect that. And those who burn the flag, you mess me up real bad, because you make me not want to be saved just for a little bit, just so I can deal with somebody. And if I ain't big enough to deal with them, then I'll find somebody big enough to deal with them. I believe in the Second Amendment, amen? And I believe in using it, hallelujah. But I'm thankful for this country, and I'm thankful for what God has given to this country by these men standing on the line, the firing line, and giving their lives for our country. And we celebrate that this weekend, and I will pay respect, and I will remember the price that was paid so that I could be free. And in this text, David is drawing a similarity to that celebration. He is saying, let us not forget the benefits of God. Just like these men have put their life on the line, there's a man named Jesus who gave his life for somebody like me. And I will remember the price that he paid so that I could have freedom. The Bible says that whom the Son has made free, he is free indeed. Say that with me. Free indeed. That means that indeed, in writings, I've got papers that say that I'm free. I've got a book that when the devil, I'm about to have a fit, when the devil comes my way and tries to lock me up to my past and my problems, and all I've got to do is take that book and stand on what God said, that I don't have to be who I used to be. I don't have to be what I used to be. That I am a born again Christian, and I've been set free by the blood of the Lamb. Amen. David said, let us not forget. And I want us to remember tonight how good God has been to us. It's easy to get so caught up in the ritual of life and the rat race of life that you don't take time to remember how good God was back there when he saved you. It's easy to look ahead of you at all the problems that lie in front of you. Somebody in here may have cancer. Somebody may in here be going through a divorce. Somebody's going through a heartache. I talked to 5 people before I left the building this morning who told me one story after another about how the devil is fighting. I'm here to tell you that if God brought you from back there, you can believe that God's going to take you the rest of the way. If God brought me this far, God's going to take me through it. If God brought me to it, God will take me through it. I believe that God has been faithful in my past. He'll be faithful in my present. He'll be faithful in my future. I want to remember that God has been good to me. Amen. You can have a seat. Let us not forget his benefits. Don't forget how good God's been. Listen, the devil's going to do everything he can to charge you at you and try to challenge you to forget what God has done for you this far. But if God has paid every bill you've had, if God has reached your children, if God has saved your loved ones, if God has woke you up in your right mind, and when you had made so many one decision after another that should have changed and wrecked and ruined your life, but you had a God that was still orchestrating everything, then you ought to take time tonight before you leave here and give God praise for what he's done. The Bible said, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. If you don't have breath in your lungs, just sit there. We'll call the ambulance. But if you've got breath in your lungs, you owe God a praise tonight. He said, let us not forget the benefits of God. And to elude time, I want to get into the scripture of what he's talking about. He says, don't forget the benefits. Then David begins to list the benefits that he has with God. He begins by giving us the provision that we've got with God's benefits. And I'll move through this as quick as I can and just give it to you, and then we'll go get some ice cream. Amen. The Bible said that he gives us the provision that we've got with God's benefits. He says, who forgiveth our iniquities, all thine iniquities. I'm glad that tonight I stand here preaching only because God has washed away every stain and every sin. If I had to stand in judgment of one sin, I'd split hell wide open. But the only reason I've got right to stand and preach tonight, the only reason I've got right to sing the songs of Zion. The only reason I've got right to shout hallelujah is somewhere back there, God took my sin and he buried it in the deepest part of the sea, and he'll never bring them up again. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities. The Bible said the heart is deceitful above all things, desperately wicked. But I'm glad that when God got a hold of my heart, he took my iniquities, he took my filth, he took my rags, and he changed everything about me. I'm glad my heart can be clean in the house of God tonight. I'm glad that he didn't say that I'll take care of some of your sins. I'm glad he didn't say that I'll wipe away every sin before you got saved, but every sin after you got saved, you're going to have to deal with. No, sir. No, ma'am. My God said that he washes away every stain, every sin. David said he forgiveth all our iniquities. Aren't you thankful tonight that he is a God who removes the sin out of the sinner? I'm thankful that he is a God that removes. It's a removing provision. Then he goes and says, who healeth all thy diseases. I'm glad that when I was sick in body, when my mind was sick with things of this world, that he was the great physician. Blind people was healed every time they met Jesus. Lame people got up and took off to running every time Jesus passed by. A leprous man standing in the street, and God just spoke the word, and the Bible said that he turned around and his skin was like a baby's skin, clean as it can be. What is that? That is the great physician that heals all our diseases. I'm glad I've got a God that it doesn't matter what's wrong with you, whether you're sick in body, sick in mind, or you're sick in your soul. You've got a physician in Jesus, and there's no condition that the great physician can't fix for you tonight. I went to a doctor the other day, and he began to prescribe this medication, and then for that medication, he said you may have an allergic reaction, so we're going to make sure that we prescribe this medication, and all of a sudden, I took those medications and I had a reaction that caused more problems than the first problem I had. Have y'all ever watched these commercials that say, hey, we've got something that will fix your acid reflux? And then everybody's just walking around and happy, and the man's heart that you can see on the screen is just beating, and all of a sudden it's coated and everything looks good. But then at the end of the commercial, it says that you may have nosebleeds, you may have diarrhea, you may have problems breathing, your lungs may close up, your eyes may swell up and bleed, your ear loss. You may lose your hearing in your ears. There may be hair loss and all these other things. I just deal with the acid reflux rather than have to deal with all the rest of that stuff. But I'm glad that when I met Jesus, every stain and every disease, he fixed it all. Hallelujah. I've never met a man like Jesus who healeth all thy diseases. I'm going to have me a good time. I ain't already feeling. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction. Not only is it a removing provision, not only is it a remedial provision, but it is a redeeming provision. I don't have enough time to take you over to the book of Ruth, but if I did have time, I'd tell you that there's a little Moabitess girl who had no benefits with God, who wasn't born in the right family, who was born on the wrong side of the tracks. How many of you remember that lifestyle you used to live? Where you came from was not where you are tonight. And there, that little girl, that Moabitess girl, was married to a Jewish man. But that Jewish man died, and she lost all rights that she had in the Jewish family. But she said to her mother-in-law, when another girl turned and went back to
her lifestyle and her sin and her pagan gods. Little Ruth looked at her mama-in-law and said, "Thy God will be my God. Thy lodging will be my lodging." And she went to Bethlehem where God had visited his people. Honey, I'm here to tell you that if you're living in a famine, it's time for you to pack your bags and get to where God is. The Bible said when she got there down in Bethlehem, the fields were white unto harvest. And she walked into a field. I don't got enough time to tell you, but the very field she landed in, she did not know it at the time, but it was a kinsman redeemer. And the Bible says this, that before she even knew it, there's a man named Boaz that had looked on her and was asking about her. She knew nothing of Boaz, but Boaz knew everything about her. I'm glad I've got a God tonight that even when I didn't know that I could call on his name and that he could save me from the muck and mire of life, I'm glad I've got a God who's had his eye on me. Hey, when he was on the cross, I was on his mind. I'm glad I've got a God like Boaz that when I came to a place like this church, I had happened onto a field that had belonged to a kinsman redeemer. What does that mean? That means when she hooked up with Boaz, that means that everything she lost in Moab, she got it back in Bethlehem. There's nothing that the devil can take from you that in Jesus' name, he can't give it right back. And much more. Why? Because he's a kinsman redeemer. It was a redeeming provision. Then the Bible goes on and says, who crowneth thee with loving kindness. The Bible don't say he just gives loving kindness. The Bible doesn't say he just drops loving kindness. But the Bible literally says that he crowneth thee with loving kindness. It gives us a picture of a lady who has been married and to be a queen. And the man places the crown upon her head, and before she was nothing, but when she got married to the king, she became the queen. It's the same text. It is a royal provision that every morning I wake up in Jesus' name, he crowns me. You better stop letting the devil lie to you, telling you a second-rate Christian. Honey, I'm here to tell you, God don't have no junk. If God saved you, he created in you a clean heart, and God is doing something in you that makes the devil mad. God has made you royalty, and he crowns you with loving kindness. What a God we serve tonight. Royal provision. Not only that, but watch this. Who satisfieth thy mouth with good things. What a God we serve. That what I need, he gives me exactly what I needed. And then watch this. Who reneweth our youth like the eagles. Stop long enough just to give you this. An eagle is a picture of freedom and pride. That's why America uses the eagle as the symbol of our freedom, because that bird, that creature God created, that's why God likens the Christian to an eagle many times. One of my favorite verses the one that says, they will mount up with wings as eagles. They will run and not be weary. They will walk and not faint. God likens a Christian to an eagle. And I remember hearing the stories growing up about those eagles. That eagle is a very prestigious bird. It's a bird that can fly higher than any other bird. It's a bird that will not eat like the buzzards eat and like the ravens eat. It will only eat something that's alive and got the blood flowing through it. Time out. Let me talk to y'all just a minute. If you'll start soaring with eagles, you won't have to worry about landing with a buzzard. If you'll get with somebody that likes consuming the Word of God and something that's got the blood flowing through it, you won't have to worry about eating off of something that's dead your whole life. You want to know how that boy, how you can tell that boy is right for you. You want to know how you can tell that girl is right for you. You want to know how you can tell that friend is right for you. Get them in this church and watch them when the Holy Spirit moves in. If it's got the lifeblood in it and they don't like it, it means they're one of them buzzards. When it starts to move, it scares them. They got to fly off. They only want to pick on what is dead and dried up in this world. But if you get somebody that when the Holy Ghost of God is moving through the midst and they jump up and they shout and they got tears flowing down their face and they're loving it every minute of it, then that means you got one of them eagles that likes to have the life flowing through it. Hey, I'm thankful that God didn't call me a buzzard. He said I'd be like an eagle. I like it when there's life in a place. But I found out something about those eagles. He said he renews the youth like the eagles. Those prestigious birds go through a period in their life where all of a sudden, the only way scientists can liken it, they say it's just like a person who goes through a depression. I have never seen it in all my life how many God-washed, blood-bought Christians sit in church depressed. I've never seen it in all my life. I get message after message after message, and it's not just the novices, the ones that just got in. It's the ones who have been in it for years dealing with depression. I used to be one of these punk kid preachers who would just tell you, you need to get over it. Get rid of the sin and you'll get happy. That was until depression came my way. I had to deal with it, had to deal with a bout of it. I thought it was going to kill me. I knew it had already just about killed my whole spirit. And had God not walked into my depression, God not walked into my valley, I wouldn't be preaching tonight. Those eagles go through a period called the molting period. And it's a time when they get so depressed that they don't even want to eat anymore. They don't even like preaching anymore, the Christian. They don't even want to go to church anymore. Something happens in the mind of that little eagle that everything just flips upside down. And there they sit, and he's depressed, and he don't know why he's depressed. He don't know why he don't want to fly no more. He don't know why he don't want to eat anymore. And there he just sits. You know what he'll do? He'll get away from that crowd. He'll get away from his family. He'll get away from all them other eagles, and he'll find him a little thicket somewhere. And he'll climb in it, and he'll sit down, and he refuses to fly, and he refuses to go hunt, and he refuses to eat. Well, you know what happens over a period of time? That little eagle's body begins to break down, and all of a sudden he's very malnourished, and his body's not getting what it needs, and he's shriveling up to just a bag of bones. And all of a sudden he's so malnourished after days of not eating, his body begins to ache. His feathers begin to fall off. I've seen pictures of these animals after they go through that molting period. They've lost all their feathers. It is the most most disgusting, and it's the most heartbreaking, pitiful sight you've ever seen. Their claws and their talons that used to be razor sharp where they'd sweep through and pick up the food, now those talons have shriveled up and they begin to fall off. And there he has nothing but nubs on his claws. His beak begins to get calcium deposits on it and it don't want to open up and he don't want to eat and it hurts him just to even move his mouth. He used to have razor sharp eyesight where he could see for hundreds of feet, and now he gets a film over his eyes and he can't even see 5 feet in front of him. And he's over in that thicket by himself, secluded and alone. And you know what he's wanting to do? He's just wanting to die. And if that little eagle is left in that place, he will die. But one morning he wakes up. And all of a sudden he hears a cry from the sky. He can't see what it is, but above his head, there's an eagle circling above him. And he gives him a cry from the sky. I'm going to go ahead and warn you. I'm about to have a fit right here. And he begins to look up and he can't see, but he listens. And that eagle that's circling above his head says this: I know where you are. I know what you need. Reinforcements are on the way. And he flies out and he'll go get other eagles and tell them in his own language where they eagle is located. And you know what those eagles do? Every morning he won't eat, he won't go hunt, so they'll dive into that area. They can't get to where he is. They can't reach him and pull him out. So like bombers, they'll dive into that area, and every morning they'll begin to bomb that area with food for him to eat on. All around that little thicket, that little doldrum, that little valley, they'll drop in every morning, and they'll come back at evening. That means he wakes up with the blessings around him, and he goes to bed with the blessings around him. That eagle may say, I just want to die, but those eagles tell him, you may want to die, but if you die, you're going to die in a blessed place. Honey, you don't need anything more than what God's already given you. If you could just look around at the blessings around you, you might not can see 5 feet in front of you, but God's dropping blessings every day into your area. You know what he does? He wakes up one morning and he hasn't felt like eating. He wakes up one morning and begins to pick a little bit on the fruit they've left for him. He'll go over here and he'll pick on some bread that they got for him. He'll go over here, he'll pick on some meat that they had gotten for him. The next day he wakes up, same routine. He'll go pick a little bit here, a little bit there. See, you ain't got to consume all the blessings. If you could just start picking on some of the blessings God gave you, you'd get enough crumbs that would make you last. Don't make me go over to the gospel where that woman said a crumb would do for me. See, even a crumb of God's mercy is enough to get me through it. Somebody ought to say amen. Amen. 1 week goes by, picking around. He's eating a little bit more. Another week goes by, he's picking around. He's eating a little bit more. A month goes by of eating off of the blessings that's been dropped in his lap. And all of a sudden, something starts taking place. Those feathers that had fallen off, now they start growing back. All of a sudden, those talons that had fallen off and those nubs that hurt him so bad, there comes new talons begin to grow back. All of a sudden, that beak that had calcium deposits on it and he didn't even want to eat it, he didn't even want to open it up to eat, all of a sudden, he begins to, I've seen him do it, he'll begin to beat that beak against a rock. And it began to chip away at what was old and dead and dried up. And what you did not realize and what you could not see for all of the hardness that was on the outside, there was a new beak that was growing on the inside. And he just began to beat that beak against the rock. I'm about to have a fit. Rock of ages, a cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee. All of a sudden, that film that was over his eyes, it begins to fall off and it begins to shed, and he'll begin to cry like he used to, could not cry, and he can't see like he used to, but he sees a whole lot better than he did yesterday. And you know what? One morning he wakes up and he's feeling a little bit better than he has up to this point, and he'll just start flapping those wings and he'll say, I don't want to fly yet, I just want to feel what it feels like. The next day he'll sit over there, pick a little bit, he'll look a little bit, pick a little bit, flap those wings a little bit. And he's not flying, but he just wants to see what it used to be like. One morning he wakes up and he begins to flap those wings, and he flaps hard enough that a wind begins to come through that valley and it begins to lift him up off of the ground where he was. And he'll flap a little more, and he'll flap a little more, and he'll flap a little more. And you know the first place he goes directly to the sun. I didn't tell you, but there's no other animal that can look directly into the sun other than an eagle. That's how God made them. And he looks directly to where nobody else can see. And he goes directly for the sun. And I ain't talking about the S-U-N. I'm talking about the S-O-N. When God gets you up out of your valley, the first place you run to is to the sun. Do you know what that eagle does after he gets out of that desperation place, that discouraging place? He flies higher than any other creature can fly. And you know what he does the rest of his life? He spends the rest of his life looking for another eagle that was in the same place he was. He don't go back to the same things he used to do. He just spends his whole life looking for another eagle. And when he finds them, you know what he does? He gives them a cry from the sky. And you know what he tells them? I know where you are. I've been where you are. I know what you need. You thought you was going to die in it. I'm here to tell you, God's going to renew you like you never thought he could. He did not say he would renew the youth. He said he was going to renew the eagles like the youth. You say, I don't know if God needs me anymore. God's got you here. He ain't taking you anywhere. He's deposited you because there's others that are depending on you. There's others that are looking to you. There's others that need to hear your song. There's others that need to hear that Sunday school lesson. There's others that need to hear, I'm not going to die in this. It's a renewing provision. I'm done. I'll give you the last two. Just give them to you. I won't even preach them. He said, not only did he give us the provision, but he gave us a perspective, Corey. He said, as high as the heaven is above the earth, so great is God's mercy for us. He gave us a perspective. He first gave us a vertical perspective. Y'all go do what you need to. I'm going to preach to him in just a minute. A vertical perspective. He said, as high as the heaven is above the earth. How many of you know how high the heavens are? I heard a scientist who don't even believe in God. He's an atheist. He said it the other day. He said, we spent billions of dollars in 1,000 years studying stars. He said, we've spent $1 billion trying to find out how far it is up there. He said, after all that, we have but scratched the surface. We spent $1 billion telling a man who don't even believe in God that he can't even figure it out. Send me that $1 billion. I could have told you that. We don't know how high the heavens are. The sun is 92 million miles away from the earth. And did you know it's only but a small star? In the next galaxy over, they may not tell you this in school, so listen. The next galaxy over, there's a star that is 1,500 times the size of the sun. And they said, it is but one of the normal-sized stars. There's 1 million more galaxies that have bigger stars in them. They said, we have but scratched the surface. I don't know how high the heavens are, but I know this. I know who sits on top of it. Amen. And if we have but scratched the surface to see how high the heavens are, what makes you think you've reached the end of God's mercy for you? You can spend $1 billion and 1,000 lifetimes and you'll still only just skim the surface of how God loves you. Vertical perspective. Then he said, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our sins from us. A vertical perspective. Then he said, a horizontal perspective.
As far as the east is from the west, I promise you I'm not going to preach it, but I do want to give this to you. If you took a globe, you start on that globe and you start going north, it's not long before what? You start going south because there's an end to north. Take that same globe, you start going south, and it's not long before what? You're going north. Why? Because there's an end to south. You can measure the distance between north and south. Take that same globe. Y'all still with me? Say amen. I'm almost done. Put your finger on that same globe, and we'll just say that direction is east. You go around that globe, east. Am I still going east? I'm still going east. Wait a minute. Give me some time. I may find it. Hang on. Am I still going to eat? You can walk around that globe from now till the day that Jesus comes back, and you still will not find where east ends because east doesn't end. Take that same finger and go back west. You know what? Different direction, same story. You're not going to find the end of west because there's not an end to it. That might not excite you, but do you know what God just told you? He said, as far as, not the north and south, because we could find where my sin was. I may jump a pew right here. If I wasn't afraid I'd break my leg, I'd do it. Hallelujah. I'd walk on top of it. But he said, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed my transgression from me. What does that mean? That means that the devil himself has been looking for what God did with my sin, and he's looking, and he's seeking, and he's roaming the earth, and he's growling, and he's mad. But the problem is he'll never find my past. God has done away with it, and he'll never bring them up again. And if the devil can't find them and God won't find them, why do you keep bringing up a past that God has buried? A vertical perspective and a horizontal perspective. Wait a minute, where have I seen that before? A vertical perspective and a horizontal perspective. It's at the cross where I first saw the light. I'm going to have a fit right here. You go home if you need to. I know where the lights are. Oh, my sin. Oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part, but the whole, was nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, my soul. Amen. What a God. Amen. Who gives us a perspective of his love. I'm done. I promise it this time. Y'all wear me out. Come here, Caroline. Is she alive? She ain't out there smoking, is she? Come here. Good. My baby girl, didn't she sing good? My sweet baby, you got your shoes off. That's what I'm talking about. Your little redneck girl. She's so pretty. Thank God she looks like her mama. He said, as a father pitieth his children, he gave us the provision that we've got. He gave us the perspective that we need. And then he gave us the position that we have. As a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them. You have a position with your father that nobody else has. And that you have a position with that father that you don't have with anybody else. That means you ought to spend more time with him than you do other people. You need to leave all them negative people alone who don't know what they're talking about. And you need to get with God, your Father.
That's good. Amen.
The other day, she did something she wasn't supposed to. I know you don't even believe that. She just looked so perfect. But she got enough of me in her to do some things she's not supposed to. And the other day, her mama told her, said, I want you to go up to your room. I want you to sit on your bed and don't give up. Get up until I tell you to. She went up them steps, whining the whole time going up there. She went and sat down on the bed. It wasn't even 5 minutes. We're downstairs. Daddy. Notice she did not say, Mama. She said, Daddy, can I get off this bed yet? I said, No, ma'am, you did wrong. You got to sit up there until we tell you. I looked at my wife and I said, Right? She said, That's right. She said, You got to help me. Trying to raise this kid, I don't need to raise you too. It wasn't even a minute later. Corey, she hollered down, Daddy, I'm all by myself up here. Lord, don't do that to me. Messing with my nerves. Now I'm stuck between that one and that one. Do I be a husband or do I be a daddy? I'd be an idiot if I even try either one. And I'm just like, she said, Daddy, please, I'm all by myself. Can I come down to where you are? And it hit me. The rule was she could not get off that bed and come to where I was. That was the rule. Walk with me. I found a loophole. It was said I couldn't get her off that bed and bring her to me. So I went to where she was. I watched my wife the whole time. Love you, babe. And I walked in that room and she said, Daddy, can I get off the bed? I said, No, ma'am. But I come to sit down with you until you can. And I sat there and she crawled up in my lap. She said, Daddy, I sure do love you. I thought you were so mad at me. I didn't think you loved me. I looked at her and I said, Honey, there is not a place that you'll ever go. What'd I say? There's not a place you ever go that I can't get to where you are. And when you can't get to me, I'll come to you. Amen. Finally, she got off the bed. Go ahead. Go back to your mama. I walked down the steps, and I heard this voice. I didn't see nobody, but I heard that voice. He said, Psst. Psst. I said, Yes, Father. He said, I want you to know that there's no place you ever go that when you can't get to me, that I won't come to you. He said, I'm your father. You're my child. And nothing will separate you from my love. I teared up thinking if an earthly father knows how to give good and perfect gifts to his children, how much more does my Father love me? What a position. What a provision. What a perspective we've got with God's benefits. This week, you're going to be tempted to forget. Let us not forget the benefits of God. I'm finished, my brother. I love you. Thank y'all for letting me come. God bless you, church.
Let's stand, if you would, please. Whilst God's playing, you've heard the message tonight. You've heard the word of God. And at this time, we're going to give you an opportunity. If you need to come to the altar, if you need to come and talk to the Lord about a problem, then we're going to give you that opportunity now. Let's just bow our heads as we look to the Lord in prayer, silent prayer. pray for these that are coming to the altar right now, that God will help do his job, do his work in the hearts and lives of these who have made their way to the altar tonight. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the message that we've heard tonight. We thank you for the blessed word of God. We thank you for the promises in your word. And Lord, we thank you so much tonight for salvation that we have in the Lord Jesus. We thank you for that son that went to the cross of Calvary, shed his precious blood that we could be redeemed. Tonight we have the benefits of that, of God's love. And we're so grateful and thankful tonight. Our hearts have been stirred. Our hearts have been blessed by the preaching of the word of God. We've been honored this day to have Brother Carr and his family with us. We appreciate the Holy Spirit using him today to bring us a message this morning and again tonight. We pray, our Father, tonight as we leave this place of worship, truly, we can say in our hearts it was good to be in the house of the Lord. We thank you, our Father, for ever blessing. We pray now that you bless these that are gathered around the altar and meet their every need. Our Father, whatever that need might be, we pray, Lord, you'd supply it tonight. Have your way in each of our hearts and each of our lives. And we'll bow under your feet and give you praise, honor, and glory. For we ask it all in Jesus' name. Before we're dismissed tonight, I'm going to ask the ushers if they'll come back. Like I said, it's been on.